No, it's always great. Let me tell you something about World Mandate. You know, a lot of people, I'm Kirk Freeman, by the way. A lot of people will ask Debbie and me, you know, we've been married about 24 and a half years. We've got three daughters who are 19, 21, and 22. And so they'll ask, hey, tell us something about parenting, or ask for parenting advice. And we are always super quick to say we are not perfect parents. I mean, you ought to hear Debbie when she gets to yelling. No, I'm teasing. She's up in the kids' ministry. She can't do anything about it this time. So don't y'all tell her. That's the problem. I use her in sermons, and then y'all go tell her what I said, because I preached different in the first service. But well, I'll say we are not perfect parents, but we have been amazed at the generosity of Jesus. It's like crazy. When your heart genuinely desires to follow him, he's drawn to that. Not perfection in terms of performance and execution, but just a heart that wants to follow him, you know? He loves to bless that. It's the same thing, like, you know, when your child, when you were a child, you bring something, a drawing to your parents. Maybe you were 3 years old and you drew a picture of the family. And trust me, your mom couldn't tell if it was aliens or vegetables or the family. They couldn't tell what you were drawing. But your parents, they're like, oh, that's wonderful. And they want to put it up on the refrigerator, not because of its execution, not because of your performance as an artist, but because of your heart. Father God is that way. And so I'm just telling you, as a parent, God loves to bless those who follow him. And in the course of our parenting, I would say that one of the consistent things we did every day where we were depositing love and Jesus and family, making deposits into our kids, just little deposits every day, was at mealtimes. We would try our best, and life gets crazy, I get it, but we would try our best to have a certain number of dinners each week, a certain number of breakfasts if I weren't traveling or going somewhere. And every day was like just a little deposit. But every now and then, you get this opportunity to make this big deposit. And over the course of the last, I don't know, maybe 15 years, one of the big deposits that Debbie and I have made in our kids is World Mandate. We would travel. It was a lot of work. We'd have to get to Waco. We'd have to book two nights in a hotel. That's money. We'd have to make sure somebody was preaching, or I'd have to get up early Sunday morning and drive back from Waco and just get here on time. But now, because World Mandate has grown, we have these satellite venues, and we're one of those satellite locations. World Mandate is a conference for those who love to worship God and for those who want to be a part of what he's doing in the world. And we began to take our kids there from the times that they were 6 years old. And so I would say, and it's a huge deposit into their life. My children love Jesus. They are characterized by joy, and they know how to disciple others. And it's not because they're pastor's kids. It's because Jesus is generous. And so I want to encourage you, this is the last Sunday that you can sign up for World Mandate. You can sign up during the week, but it's the last time we're going to announce it. It's Friday night and Saturday, and I would say bring your kids. If you're struggling with your kids, if you got teenagers and it's a hard season, trust me, I was one at once, and my mom had to, you know, deal with me. I was a blessing most of the time. But I would say bring your family to World Mandate. Make the investment, okay? I also want to say, go to the next slide, Acts. Starting Sunday, February the 4th, next slide, there we go. I'm starting a new series. We're going to walk through the book of Acts. It's 28 chapters long, and it speaks about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and Jesus inaugurating his kingdom. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. As you would imagine, I've been studying the book of Acts, and I'm just lit up all over again. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you have this bulletin, I want you to pull it out. And on this little corner, on the inside left-hand side, right-hand side for you guys, are six scripture passages. These are the passages that from which I'm going to teach every week, okay? So I want you to make a commitment to go through Acts with us and it'll probably take you no more than 10 or 15 minutes. You can obviously spend more time in the Word. But read each of these passages Read each passage for the day, okay, this week. And then if you've never gotten into the Bible before and you don't know how to do a Bible study or you don't know how to hear the Lord, his spiritual voice, there's a link right here at the top that will take you to a page that describes how you can have a living conversation with God and his through his word. And I just want to kick it off this year with this series on Acts and walk with me through it, okay? Today is going to be an awesome day. I mean, it's like a party. Last service was like crazy fun. We decided, I hear so many cool stories about God working in people's lives, and our life group leaders hear them, and our pastors and elders hear them, but the rest of the church doesn't get to hear them very often, and there's so many of them. What we've decided to do is every quarter, every 3 months, we're going to have just a celebration Sunday where we say, hey, we want to share some stories with you. So that's today. Now, you'll notice that we've got this, our baptistry out here. Okay, we're going to have a couple of baptisms at the end of the service, but here's what happened in the first service. We only had one baptism scheduled, but I want you to know that I want you to know what baptism is for. Baptism is the way that Jesus gave us to express to the world that we follow him. That's what it's for. Maybe you made that decision when you were a kid, or maybe recently. Maybe you'll make it today. I don't know. But this is a command that Jesus gave us. He said, if you're my follower, I want you to be baptized. Christians for thousands of years have, and we're continuing that step, that tradition of obedience. I say that because today may be your day. Maybe you didn't come thinking you were going to be baptized, but there's already a guy who was not planning on it, but is here in the first service, and he said, you know what? I want to be baptized. We actually have shorts and t-shirts and towels and underwear. That's right, kids. Pastor Kirk said underwear. That's right. That's right. Back there, if today is the day for you to step up and follow Jesus in obedience, there is nothing holding you back. Don't let who you came with hold you back. Don't let your schedule hold you back. This is a time to follow the Lord. I'm going to leave it with you for while during the service to think on, and I'm going to come back to it. But today may be your day. So here's what I want to start off with. I want to invite Mercedes. Come on up here, girl. We're going to have, that's right, whenever somebody comes up on stage, except for me, I want us to give them a big applause because it's hard to get up here. Mercedes is just going to kick us off with a story of God's power and what he's like. Mercedes, you came to our church with your family when you were how old?
I started going alone when I was 16, and then I brought my parents to church, and this has been our home since then.
That's right, and that's a whole story of transformation
story.
And cool stuff. But now you're a missionary in Australia. Tell us a cool story about Jesus.
Yes. So my name is Mercedes. Good morning, everyone. And I am a missionary based in Perth, Australia. And I travel all over the world with my mission. But my story I'm going to tell you guys is actually when I was in Perth. It was a weekend, my time off. But one weekend, a couple of friends and I, we went to a town just near where I live. And what's cool about this little town is they have an open market, and so they have like heaps of food and just really cool stuff just to explore, and a lot of free stuff. So in my mind, that's, yes, we're going. And so we went one weekend, and we were about to leave, and a friend of mine, she wanted coffee. And so we stopped at a little kiosk, and she started ordering coffee. And as I'm standing there across from the woman she's ordering, who's taking her order, I just started to feel really anxious, like incredibly anxious. I was overwhelmed by this deep sadness that I hadn't felt in a really long time, almost like depressed in an instant. It was just like flooding. And then I was almost brought to tears. And I was like, okay, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What's going on right now? And I felt like God said, tell her who I am to you. Tell her who I am. And so I was like, okay. And so I just looked at her and I said, hi, my name is Mercedes. This might be super weird, but I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I feel like God wants you to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, whatever anxiety or depression is overwhelming you. And as I'm talking to her, I look down and I just see a bunch of scars on her arms. And I'm like, whatever that is, God actually wants to pursue you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you might not know what that means at the moment, but he wants you to know that he is there and he is watching over you. And I look up at her and she's just bawling, crying. And so I asked if I could pray for her and she said yes. So I did that. And as soon as I finished praying, she came around the corner and just gave me the biggest hug. And she's like, I'm not religious or anything. And I was like, sweet, neither am I. She's like, I needed this today, right now, at this moment. And I am just overwhelmed continuously. I have story after story after story about what God has done in the nations to pursue the people who do not know his name. And I believe he will stop at nothing to allow people to have a relationship with him. Our obedience and their openness is what causes him just sweet love and sweet relationship. And so, yeah, thank you.
Hey, thanks for sharing that. Thank you, Jill. Yeah. Okay. And the thing that Mercedes had to do was she had to step out in obedience. She's leaving because she's working with teaching the high school girls right now. But you just have to step out in obedience when you know the Lord's leading you to share his love in some way. I want to invite, is Nathan here? Where's Nathan? There you are. Dude, you're sneaky. Come on up. Yeah, come on, let's hear it from Nathan. Give it up for Nathan. Huh?
Switched it up on
you. You switched it up on me, that's right. I'm going to let you stand in the light. Tell us the story, man.
Yeah, so my name's Nathan Dawson, and I've been going to CrossBridge for about a little over 5 years now, and I feel like God really put it on my heart over Christmas. He said, hey, Nathan, you need to tell your testimony more. And I said, okay, sounds good. Yeah, great. I'll tell it to people when I get coffee or grab a taco or whatever. And then they asked me to do this, and I said, oh, okay, I'm going to tell the whole church. All right, sounds good.
Let's save you a whole lot of tacos.
Yeah, that's a lot of tacos. All right. I've gone to CrossBridge for around 5 years. And ever since I came here, I was a regular attender, did the life group thing. I hopped on board with that, started doing, you know, helping out, setting up chairs, whatever. And God really started to move in my heart this past year. I kind of just sat there, and as my family was growing, my wife's about to have our fourth child, and God started to mold my heart, and I realized that there were a lot of things that I was dealing with and a lot of things that I was trying to carry on my own, and I realized that these things were chains of shame, guilt, and pride. And as I tried to carry these around, or as I tried to break them on my own, I realized I couldn't do it by myself. The shame was shame that, situation that I was in, really similar to this Olympic stuff that's going on, just inappropriate abuse. And that happened to me, and I felt like, why am I carrying this? I can't do this. What's going on? And then because of that, you start to act out. And throughout my whole childhood and adult life, you know, you continue to act out, and then you get stuck on stuff on the internet that you can't get away from, and it's just wrapped around you, and you can't let go. As much as you try to break the chain, it doesn't happen. And then pride, because I didn't want to tell anybody about it. I'm the church goer. I'm the regular attender. I'm the life group guy. I'm the people that come to me to pray for them. So how am I going to go up on stage and tell everybody about this? But Jesus began to set me free from this about a year ago. This weight, these chains that were wrapped around me began to break free. I began to step into life group and just be more open and say, hey, guys, I'm dealing with some stuff. I began to go eat tacos on Wednesday mornings with a couple of guys and talk to them about what Jesus is doing in my life. And there was one more thing that happened to me. I was sitting in a deer stand on a Sunday morning. Sorry, Kirk.
As long as you're streaming the service,
yeah,
you can go hunt.
I watch it afterwards. Got to get the prime time in. But I was sitting in a deer stand, and my wife texted me a picture of this Conquer thing. She said, hey, okay if you go to this. And that's all I needed. I just needed her to say it was okay. And when she did that, I signed up. I went the next day, and God has set me 100% free from that. And it's been over a year of 100% freedom.
Amen.
In that freedom, I found so much. I'm able to look at my wife right in the eyes and tell her, I love you so much, baby. I chase my little girl around and know she's getting my all. And I pick my little boy up and look him in the eyes and know that I'm breaking those chains, those generational sins, that yes. He's going to be free from his yes. life. I look back and I said, okay, so how do I encourage everybody? What do I do now to push people to do this as well? Or how, you know what? And I realized I'm not going to push them to do anything. It's a step of obedience. All I had to do was step out and say, God says, go sign up for Conquer. I said, okay, I'll go do it. God says, go sign up for discipleship. Go find somebody to hang out with and eat tacos with and talk about Jesus. I said, okay, I'll do it. I don't know what it is for you, but that thing in your heart, you're sitting here and your heart starts pounding and going, oh God, Conquer. Oh God, Kairos. Oh God. You know what it is. Hopping in the water, whatever it is. You know that that's what you're supposed to do. And I promise you, if you do it, God will bless you and just continue to pour blessings on you every yeah. single day. And I promise you, because it happened to me.
Awesome, man. I don't know what that step of obedience is for you today. Nathan doesn't know either. He just knows, and I know too, you take it and God blesses. When he mentioned Conquer, what he was talking about is a six-week study that we have. It's a men's deal. It's for men who want to be champions for purity, men who want to be champions for women and children, and want to break the chains of pornography and lust that are on their life. And so today is the last day to sign up for it. And if your heart is pounding in your chest, like Nathan was talking about, look in the bulletin that I mentioned earlier and sign up for Conquer. Sign up for the Conquer series. We've had 150, 160 men go through it already. I went through it too. I want to be more of a champion. I've got three daughters. I want to be more of a champion for purity for my girls, you know? And so, and I tell you what, if you've been through Conquer before, we are doing some things different in it. Hopefully you got a text from Tim Casey and me this week about it. But I'd say, come on back through and let's be champions, men. And today may be the day again. Like he said, maybe you need to be baptized. Whatever the step of obedience is, you take it. We follow Jesus. We don't follow anybody else, all right? I want to bring Shay Posey up. Let's give Shay a big hand. All right. Shay came up to me a couple of weeks ago and just was talking about how 2017 had been such a big year of spiritual growth for him, which is really cool because Shay's not new to following Jesus. He's been at Crossbridge for about 12 years. But I wanted him to share a little bit of his story because I just want to say, wherever you are, God's got more for you. Share your story, buddy.
Thank you, Kirk. My name is Shay. My wife, JoLynn, and I and our two boys have been coming to Crossbridge for about 12 years now. And there's been a consistent message at Crossbridge about engaging the Word of God, engaging the people of God, and engaging the Spirit of God. So the Word of God, of course, the Bible. And the people of God can take on different forms, but of course here we like to talk about life group and being engaged in life group. But the Spirit of God can be a little bit different. So if you'll engage me in an analogy here, the idea of scuba diving. Does anybody here know anybody that scuba dives? Does anybody here actually scuba dive? All right. So what I've learned about scuba divers is when you have conversations with them, they're very often talking about their last experience scuba diving or the planning for their next experience scuba diving, right? I'm getting some head nods here, but that's a good thing. What I understand from my friends that scuba dive is when they're under the water, when they're immersed in the water, everything just slows down for them. They're more aware of all the surroundings there under the water. And it appears that when you're really relying on that gear for your survival, there's just a separate awareness of that time. And for me, my scuba diving example, or my correlation from a spiritual standpoint, has been freedom prayer. So in 2017, I was fortunate enough to receive freedom prayer twice. And since then, I've also been fortunate enough to join the freedom prayer team, which has been fantastic. And when you engage the Holy Spirit, when you get to see the perfect timing that he has and the perfect way that he communicates, it's just absolutely undeniable, and it's life-changing. For me personally, that's manifested in two different ways. The first way is just the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, the fruit of peace. So I used to struggle with really irrational fears, fears that were very clearly spiritual battles, and there's no real root for them except for that they were irrational. And through the time with the Holy Spirit, I have been freed from those irrational fears, which has truly been a life-changing thing. The other thing that I found for me personally, now we all know, hey, this whole thing, it's not about us, right? But what was great for me is I've also learned it's also not all about my family, and it's not all about my job. It's about extending the kingdom of God and doing the work of God. And so the lens, the filter with which I see things and hear things, I feel like I'm more sensitive now, kind of like that scuba diver. I feel like I notice more things. And the evidence of that is when you ask that question of somebody serving you coffee or picking up your dry cleaning, when they really engage and they need that love from the Holy Spirit. So I'm certainly not perfect. I certainly haven't achieved any attainment or status, except that it's an ongoing process. And I have certainly been able to feel that and experience that in my own life, which has been an amazing growth, and it's been fantastic. And I'll wrap it up with this. Before coming in today, actually yesterday, I was just praying to the Holy Spirit, just asking, is this scuba diving thing, is this of myself, or is this, Lord, I want this to be you speaking through me, Holy Spirit. I don't want this to be me and my silly analogy. But the Holy Spirit brought to me a memory. In college, I actually had to take a scuba diving class as part of a college class. And it actually ended up being a pretty negative experience. They gave me a tank that actually didn't have oxygen in it. And we scuba dived for 30 minutes. We were under the water. So obviously I'm fine. I'm here today. But it was really bad for about 24 hours. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, let people know if they've been given an empty oxygen tank, it's okay to jump back in the water. So we know there's a lot of people here who have probably been vulnerable at church before, or with people from the church or of the church, and they may have handed you an empty oxygen tank. And I really feel like you need to be encouraged today that it's okay to jump back in the water. I did not know the baptism thing was going on today, so maybe that's like, again, another Holy Spirit kind of tying things together. But if you're hesitant to open back up to the church, just know the Holy Spirit had that for you today, and I would encourage you to move forward with that.
Awesome. Thank you, Shay. Appreciate it, buddy. If you're, you know, Shay mentioned freedom prayer, if you're interested in learning about that ministry, then you can go to our website, click on ministries, and it'll say freedom prayer. Every question you could want to know about is written there or answered there. But Jesus wants us to walk in freedom. You know, when Shay's talking about the Holy Spirit, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, this is not, okay, I think I'll start adhering to those rules, right? It's not like that at all. It is first and foremost and forever a relationship. We're actually talking about the Spirit of God intervening in our lives, making his spiritual voice known, like Mercedes was talking about, giving us power to be the different kind of men, like Nathan was talking about, and setting us free from stuff. We're talking about actually experiencing God. If you're not thinking that, then you're thinking the wrong thing. And God wants you to walk in freedom, but there's sometimes he won't bring freedom while we walk in isolation. And it was when Nathan began to share with some guys, when Shay went to freedom prayer, where we pray with one another, that the Lord brought freedom from long-held sin and lies and wounds that we all carry at different times in our lives. So I want to just ask you again that same question. What is the step of obedience that God is calling you to today? Could be freedom prayer. Could be conquer. Could be being baptized today. All right, I want to ask Chris and Cammy Moore and family to come up on stage. Just Abby this time, right? Yeah, he was like, that. His son was up here. He's like, that wasn't so hot, Dad.
It wasn't
like,
that cool.
All right, not so cool. I try to make it look cool. It's just hard. All right, share your story, buddy.
My name is Chris. This is Addy, and this is Cammy. And just want to share with you, a couple weeks ago, I went to my discipleship group, first time back since the new year. And I was feeling just kind of down and frustrated, and I needed some encouragement, and God knew that. There's four of us, since about Thanksgiving to the Christmas holiday, just passing sickness back and forth. We were just exhausted. We were done. And my wife and I was sharing at discipleship group. We were out of the flow of community. And we felt that just in that short amount of time, four to 6 weeks of being out of the flow. And it was having just an effect on our family. And so we were studying 1 John 1 that was talking about God is light and the difference between light and darkness, and that whatever we do points people to one, you know, either the light or the darkness. And at the end of discipleship, we were praying for God just to speak that into our lives. And as I'm praying, I got this picture that I was seeing myself as stone, and I was believing just being out of the flow of community, I was starting to believe these past lies that I wasn't going to, you know, I wasn't effective, and I wasn't light. And I had this picture of God picking up a hammer and just hitting me in the chest, and these pieces of light starting to shine out. And it was just an amazing encouragement as I look back over the year that all the steps of obedience, stepping into discipleship, conquer, life group, that God was using all those times of community to put his light in me.
Yeah, it doesn't take long not being plugged into community to kind of fall back into old ways. So being forced to be out of community that month was really rough on us. So we were getting back into the swing that Chris had gone to discipleship Wednesday morning, and that happened to also be our first day back doing homeschool days at our house. And so coming off sickness, being together for that long a time without a break from each other, that was a rough day. And I didn't even know. I didn't talk to Chris. He had a really busy day that day. I didn't know that that had happened in his group. So he was working late. I was getting the kids fed and bathed and ready for bed. And it was just one of those, like, I just want to get him in bed. And I want to shut the doors. And I want to just be by myself the rest of the day. And I was getting them ready, and, you know, we were sitting in Addie's room on the floor with my son and her, and I just kind of looked at her and said, wow, today was rough. She said, I know. And she just got really quiet, and she said, Mom, I woke up this morning, and I wasn't in a good mood. I wasn't joyful. I didn't have peace. I didn't want to do my work as unto the Lord.